Hello, and welcome to Talking Back, the companion podcast of English Study App Study Now. Once a month, we select a few of the articles that appeared on Study Now and have a lighthearted discussion about them. Later on in today's episode, we'll be talking about an all-you-can-drink sake event in Niigata, Tokyo being rated the safest city in the world, but first up, a story about cloning cats. I'm Scott Pekarczyk, thanks for joining me. Today, we are welcoming longtime Study Now news announcer, but first-time guest here on the podcast, Soli. Welcome, Soli.
Hi, Scott. How's it going?
Very well. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much.
Good, good. So I met you, actually, at a Study Now event party here in Osaka. Like, what, was that 2 years ago now?
It's about 2 years, yeah, exactly. Wow. 2 years ago.
It's been a while. Where have you been?
So I've been back in Australia for the last 2 years.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
How long were you in Japan before that?
I've been here for about 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a long stretch. So tell me, when you went home, did you have any kind of reverse culture shock?
Totally. More so than actually coming here.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, the reverse culture shock is it's much more savage.
Because you're not expecting it.
You're not expecting it at all. Like, you come here and you're a tourist, so everything's kind of strange. But you go back and walking into a store, walking into a restaurant, and the service culture is different. Here, you're just looked after, you know.
Right.
But there, you know, you walk into a shop and, you know, eventually someone will notice that you've kind of walked in, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a bit different. But no, it's good. It was really good being back.
Yeah.
Sydney's great.
When you got back, what were some of the things that you were like so happy to have again?
Meat pies, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had an Aussie meat pie, like a good meat pie.
I don't think I've had an Australian style one.
Right, yeah. The meat pies are good. Vegemite.
Ew.
Ew. Something I'd been missing.
You don't have family send you shipments of Vegemite?
I now bought with me like 6 or 7 tubs. So I should be all right for the next few years.
Fantastic. Our first topic today is from an article that appeared on Study Now on September 23rd, titled "Chinese Company Creates First Cloned Cat." So it seems that there's a Chinese firm that specializes in pet cloning, and they've already cloned more than 40 pet dogs and have now cloned the first cat. And one of these procedures can cost around $35,000 or 3.6 million yen. So, Soli, this was your choice today. What drew you to this article?
Well, firstly, wow.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that there was cloning animals.
Yeah, it's like a science fiction movie.
Right, yeah. It's scary. I mean, you heard about the sheep.
Yeah, Dolly the sheep. That was back in 96. So I was in college, I think.
Right. I had no idea that they were cloning animals, you know, and selling them.
Yeah, that it's become a business now. It's no longer a giant news story. It's just a business. That's crazy.
But, I mean, would you clone your pet?
No. I have very strong feelings about this. And it's not an ethical thing, like, that I think that cloning is bad. It's that, do you need to clone a cat if you want another cat? You know, like, there's so many homeless cats.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about pet shop. Well, also pet shops, but like, I don't think animals should be sold in pet shops.
Yeah.
That's another story another time.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, there's animal shelters where there's like all these cats and dogs waiting for somebody to take them home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in many cases, they might be put to death.
Right.
Because they can't afford to take care of them forever. So there's so many animals that are already alive, already looking for love, and you're just going to create another one for a crazy amount of money? Like, why? I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. I put it to my wife because her dog passed away. That she, you know, she had this dog since she was a kid and passed away.
Wow. Yeah, that's rough.
And she was incredibly, you know, devastated about it. So would she do it? And she said, yeah, probably.
Wow.
But and then I asked her, you know, would you do it for, you know, 3.5 million yen? She's like, no, probably not.
Yeah. Well, for now, anyways, so I guess the price is a barrier. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, what are your feelings on the matter?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, grief is something that happens in life, and you do have to deal with it. Although, I mean, it does raise the question, though, what can be cloned? Like, how far are we from cloning humans then? If we can clone cats, and it looks like, according to the company, it looks like they're healthy animals.
It seems like, yeah, the procedure is pretty solid. Right. Or getting more reliable.
Well, I put this to my wife as well. I said, you know, would she, you know, if I passed away, you know, would she clone me? And she said, yeah, of course. And I said, well, would you do it for 3.5 million yen? She's like, no.
Now it's time for Reader's Choice. These are topics that were requested by Study Now users like you. The topic for this episode comes from Yuki about an article that appeared in Study Now on September 13th titled "Study Finds Tokyo Safest City in the World." And she was just wondering our impressions and if we agree with that and how do we feel about safety in Japan versus our home cities?
I lived in Sydney for a long time, went to uni there, and that's ranked fifth. So Sydney's pretty safe.
Yeah.
You still got to keep, especially you wouldn't walk through a park at night.
Right.
Definitely. There's a lot more weapons. Like there's not guns. Like, I mean, you're from the States,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we have too many guns.
Yeah.
I think.
Uh-huh. Is that something you encountered?
Not personally. I've been very lucky that I've never... Yeah, encountered any violent situations with guns. But the thing about being in America, we were talking about reverse culture shock. This is something that I've experienced almost every time I go home, is that, you know, guns are legal and anyone could have one.
Right.
And just thinking, like, am I okay right now in this room with everybody? Is everybody, like, mentally stable? You know, if they're not, do they have a gun? Because maybe they do. I don't know.
Right.
I've changed as I've gotten older. It's strange. When I was growing up, I never thought about it.
Uh-huh.
Now I think about it constantly when I'm in the U.S.
Really? So it's actually just in the back of your mind?
Yeah, it's always in the back of my mind about
that
being careful.
That is so weird.
Yeah. Well, and you guys, I mean, Australia, there was a big law a couple of years ago. I mean, you know better than I do what happened.
So there was a massacre in Tasmania, and I can't remember, a couple of dozen people died in that massacre. And after that, there was a massive nationwide campaign to get rid of a lot of the guns.
Right.
And the nation embraced it, and everyone said, look, it's fair enough.
Yeah.
And that happened. And yeah, and we live in a safer country for it. Definitely.
Yeah. I think the numbers definitely show that.
Yeah. Yeah. People in Sydney, especially in some suburbs, people will carry knives and things. So that is in the back of your head.
Sure.
That, you know, to be thinking that there are a few crazy people out there. But,
yeah. And that's true anywhere you go, even in Japan, where it is mostly very safe. And I think there's a positive stereotype about Japan that it's so safe. And generally, I think that's true.
Yeah. The other thing is just putting your bag down, like here. You just leave your bag there, you know. But in Sydney, you can't just it's never happened to me, but there's a potential someone was run past, grab your bag.
Oh, yeah.
And take off. That doesn't happen here. So.
Right. Yeah. I was in a cafe in Kobe, and some girls came in to reserve the table and then go order some drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And normally you put down, you know, your bag or a handkerchief or something. This girl puts down her iPhone, and then they both went up to the counter. And I was just looking at it with a smile on my face, thinking, like, I love Japan. Like, if this was the U.S., that would be gone
in
30 seconds, right? That's just asking for it to be stolen in other places. I mean, when we talk about the safety, I think what it is there's like there's more of a general respect.
Yeah, it's a respect thing, isn't it?
Other people's and other people's things and just other people.
And it's ingrained in the culture too.
Right.
That's why it's safer.
Yeah, exactly. I like being in that, and I like being a part of that. I like participating in that myself also.
Yeah.
Now, that said, it should be pointed out that we are both men.
That's a very, very good
and
point.
Adults, because I do feel like often when there is risk or danger, that it's often towards women or children.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard firsthand stories from some women I know who have had, you know, very scary experiences here in Japan. And a lot of time the police just don't believe them or they say, what did you do that invited this to happen? You know, I think that's the wrong question to be asking. So well, it is definitely mostly safe. I'm not in fear of getting shot in Japan. I think there are certainly times when you need to be careful and be aware.
Yeah.
Which is good advice anywhere.
Yeah. It's always good to be on your toes.
That was our reader-suggested topic for this month. Thank you very much to Yuki for requesting that. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like to hear on the show, please send a message through our website, studynow.jp, or from inside the Study Now app. Our final topic today is from an article that appeared on Study Now on September 17th, titled Niigata Sake Event Ends All You Can Drink. Since 2004, Niigata Prefecture has held a popular sake tasting event for breweries in the prefecture. However, they will be changing the format of the event because of overdrinking and even some hospitalizations because of overdrinking. So this was my article for this week, and I admit that I chose it because I saw an article about all you can drink sake and saw that it was ending. And I thought, aw, why? But then I saw the reasons why. And yeah, I kind of guess that makes sense. I think it's there's maybe a difference between having an all you can drink event at a restaurant and a little bit different when you have maybe hundreds and hundreds of people at a massive festival all drinking as much as they can.
Right.
That's maybe a recipe for disaster.
What
are your thoughts?
Well, my question was, you know, why was it ending? Was there an incident that happened, like a particular incident? It seems like it was hospitalization, that kind of thing. But to be honest, and we were just talking before about the safety in Japan. So I think there's, 140,000 people or something?
At this event? Wow.
So if that was Australia, people, you know, there'd be at least, you know, 14,000 fights breaking out at any point.
So this also got me thinking about, in this case, I guess, thousands of people, you know, like all drinking and, you know, being kind of rowdy. And recently, right now in Japan, has been the Rugby World Cup.
Right.
There's been a lot of rowdiness reported in the news of, you know, rugby fans going and getting drunk. And especially in this case, unfortunately, it's foreign visitors, foreigners coming to root for their teams, getting a little drunk, and then maybe being a little too excited on the streets or especially in the trains.
Is that right? Is there any incidents, particular incidents?
There's, you know, one video that I saw on Twitter of a bunch of people who were celebrating on the train, and they were like sitting down on the floor of the train, and then there was somebody like crowd surfing on the top of them. You know, as a foreigner, like, you know, who loves living in Japan, you can't be an expert on every aspect of a culture when you're a visitor there, a tourist. But there's some basic rules that are pretty easy to recognize and respect. And I think they were pretty openly disrespecting the local culture, and that really made me a little sad.
That is a bit sad, isn't it? I guess, it would have been interesting to see the local reaction there.
I mean,
Japan's hosted the Football World Cup as well. You know, I'm sure there was rowdiness there.
I was
as
here
well.
For that. But yeah, I mean, I guess that just, it makes me think a lot about, you know, especially being in Osaka where the tourism has, you know, quadrupled in the last couple of years or something like that. I saw an article recently about all the tourism in Kyoto. And Kyoto is now launching campaigns to try and educate tourists about things.
I saw some incidents of graffiti on like people defacing. And just in Kyoto, like it's just terrible.
I don't understand why people, you know, come to see something and then
draw all over it.
If they draw over it, like, why are you destroying the thing you came to see? So basically, this kind of got me thinking about rowdiness and events that are bringing in multiple cultures or lots of different cultures together that may not always line up? And what expectations do you have, both as a traveler or as the host country? What are your expectations and how are those going to happen, especially as we're coming up on the 2020 Olympics?
Right.
It's going to be an interesting time, I think.
Yeah, I think just a little bit of respect is needed. Wherever you go in the world, just respect the place.
Yeah, the phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Right.
That goes a long way everywhere.
Indeed.
But unfortunately, it looks like as far as the all-you-can-drink sake event in Niigata, unfortunately, that one's coming to an end.
Well, although it does say they have banned all you can drink, but you're still allowed 20 drink tickets. Like, that's a
20?
Lot.
20?
That's a lot of sake.
That's basically all you can drink anyways. Nothing's going to change. If you enjoyed today's episode, visit our homepage at studynow.jp and download our English News Study app.
Every day you can read and listen to articles like the ones we talked about in this podcast. For each story, the app gives you vocabulary and grammar explanations in Japanese.
And with a premium subscription, you'll get access to show notes from today's podcast episode, a full transcript of our conversation, and many other study tools that will help your English study efforts. Well, that's all for this month. Soli, thanks so much for coming in and joining us today.
Thanks, Scott. It was fantastic.
And welcome back to Japan. I hope we'll get you back on the podcast sometime soon.
For sure. I'd love to come back. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
And thanks to all of you for listening to Talking Back, the official podcast of Study Now, the English News Study app.